Alleluia, alleluia. Christ was revealed in flesh, proclaimed among the nations, and believed in throughout the world. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus returns to his hometown, to the synagogue where he'd worshipped for many years earlier in his life, of course. He was known to so many people. And he read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." All was going well till he applied that text to himself, of course. "It is he that is the anointed one of God. It is he that will proclaim release to the captives," and so on. 2 weeks ago, we recalled Jesus' baptism, a baptism where we're told the Spirit remained upon him. From there, he was sent into the wilderness, where temptations in the face of adversity. In a spiritual sense, these temptations strengthened rather than weakened him. Whatever Satan had to offer out there did not drain Jesus. Quite the opposite, in fact. He returned with his tank full of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in all its fullness in Jesus. Jesus is at this point seemingly unique, and he is unique. He is the Son of God. But to focus solely on the Holy Spirit anointing him is to miss the communal aspect of what Jesus seeks from his church now. In the Gospels, this starts to happen when he sends out first the 12 apostles to preach and to heal and to tell the good news of God's kingdom, and then he sends out the 70, a wider circle of disciples. It's the start of the training and formation program for his team, who will take over when they are left to continue his work. And as you know, Pentecost is the major turning point when the Spirit comes down, descends on those apostles and disciples, and transforms them. Jesus, now risen and ascended, will continue and does continue to work through his own people. This is what St. Paul is writing about in all of his letters, and indeed today, where he refers to the church as being the body of Christ. The risen Christ's physical and visible presence on earth here and now is the church. And by the church, I of course mean the people, not bricks, mortar, stained glass windows, etc. We are the body of Christ, part of the worldwide body of Christ, a body that has so many gifts. In our own part of this body, perhaps we feel a sense of concern. Why are the younger and middle age ranges so underrepresented? But look at the bigger picture. In other places in the world in particular, the church is absolutely vibrant and part of the everyday life of communities. But the Spirit is at work here too. Make no mistake about that. For St. Paul, the Christian Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, all were in possession of the Holy Spirit. All were given gifts. It's interesting that Paul recognizes that no one has the full set. And there's a suggestion that even the apostles themselves don't have all the gifts. The apostles themselves will have particular gifts, but not all gifts are given. The uniqueness of Jesus as the anointed Son of God must surely mean he had the full set. But for those whom answer his call that to serve, the gifts are shared out. When we have a gift to give to someone, perhaps at a special time, we like to see the gift used. This chasuble, the first one I received, was presented in time for my first communion when I was priested at Chester. It was a gift from my four parents. Every time I put it on, I remember them. It's a gift given in recognition of that time when, surrounded in Chester Cathedral, bishops and priests come and pray and lay their hands on the priest to be ordained. And that unforgettable day was at a time when decorations were made and promised. And amongst all the various words that were said, the words that always stick with me are, "With all God's people, the priest is to tell the story of God's love." The priest is ordained to lead God's people in that proclamation and sharing. So how are we to tell the story of God's love? How are we to bring the good news and give sight to the blind? As people have a variety of gifts, it seems to me so too will churches have particular strengths. Some churches are very good at outreach, promoting the gospel, and particularly I would say in the evangelical tradition. Perhaps earlier in our own journeys, this is the place where our journey began. It certainly was for me. City centre churches may well have a particular ministry to homeless people, or a ministry to a specific culture like Chinese church or Ukrainian church, to name just two. What charisms are here that enable us to share the message that Christ wants us to give? A charism, by the way, is a spiritual gift or special ability that a Christian receives from the Holy Spirit. And within all this, it's not just the more obvious preaching, teaching, healing aspects of ministry that are gifts. Note that Paul lists forms of assistance as a gift of the Spirit. So, hospitality, acting as a sidesperson, being a musician, offering friendship or pastoral support, to name but just a few, these are spiritual gifts in the form of assistance and contribute to the worship of the church and to the well-being of the body. The question I find myself asking is, what is my role meant to be? Are the gifts I have been given being used effectively to allow me as a spiritual leader of this church to bring good news to everyone? Any form of assistance contributes to the functioning of the body here and releases me to fulfill the vocation I promised 9 years ago. Sorry, 11 years ago. I've been here 9 years. One final point. At the end of the epistle today, Paul summarizes all these thoughts about the strength of the body by writing, "But strive for the greater gift." And perhaps you may have noticed the Bible reference on your reading sheet, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31a. B is missing. Because B leads into the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, which I'm sure many of you will know as Paul's hymn of love. And what does B say? Well, it says, "And I will show you a still more excellent way." What is the excellent way? It is love. Three more gifts there are, Paul lists: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. All the gifts we can think of are underpinned by love. Love for Christ, love for our neighbour, love for one another, and love for ourselves too. Amen.